All right, get ready for a torrent of questions here. Why are people more relaxed and at ease with each other in some countries than others? Why do we worry so much about what others think of us and often feel social life is a stressful performance? Why is mental illness three times as common in the USA as in Germany? Why is the American dream more of a reality in Denmark than it is in America? What makes child well-being so much worse in some countries than others? According to our next guest, the answer is inequality. The new book, The Inner Level, has professors Richard Wilkinson and Kate Pickett explaining how inequality affects us individually, altering how we think, feel, and behave. It sets out the overwhelming evidence that material inequities have powerful psychological effects. When the gap between rich and poor increases, so does the tendency to define and value ourselves and others in terms of superiority and inferiority. Richard Wilkinson has played a formative role in international research on the social detriments of health. He is a professor emeritus at the University of Nottingham Medical School, an honorary professor at University College London. Kate Pickett is professor of epidemiology, research champion for justice and equality, and deputy director of the Center for Future Health at the University of York. And it's a pleasure to welcome them both to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hello. Nice to be with you.
Great pleasure to have you both on the program. The name of the book, The Inner Level, How More Equal Societies Reduce Stress, Restore Sanity, and Improve Everyone's Well-Being. So, Kate, let us begin with you of what brought you to, especially your last book was The Spirit Level. So what brought you to The Inner Level?
Well, in The Spirit Level, we were basically showing that in more unequal societies, whether that was other rich developed countries or the 50 states of the USA, there was a higher level of health and social problems in those more unequal places. We showed that it affected everybody, and we showed that the effects were very large. What we're trying to do in The Inner Level is dig beneath those statistics and try and show what the pathways are by which inequality creates psychological difficulties, creates high levels of chronic stress, and therefore affects our mental health and well-being.
And Richard, when you look at The Inner Level, how would you define that?
It's really the psychological effects of inequality we're dealing with, because in our rich, modern, developed societies, one of the really worrying trends is that there's such high levels of stress, such high levels of mental illness. I mean, nearly 60% of Americans say they are paralyzed by stress, and one in five have a diagnosable mental illness. And the figures are very similar in Britain. And most people, when they hear these sorts of figures, think what we need is more services, more counselling and so on. What we're trying to do is to see why our societies, with such high levels of comfort and so on, produce this real psychological pain. What's going wrong with human relationships?
When you look at the quality of social relationships and community life and how important that is to our health and well-being, where do you believe that the problems start to develop in those communities? What starts to erode in those relationships that starts the problems? Kate?
Well, when inequality increases the steepness of the social hierarchy, it sort of increases the social distances between us, and that affects community relationships, how much we feel that we're in solidarity with our neighbors, how much we might help them out. You know, the evidence shows that people are less willing to help each other in more unequal societies. They're less likely to be happy to talk to somebody with a mental illness. Levels of trust decline. Participation in civic life, things like voting.
What inequality does, you see, is not simply create poverty or whatever that people have worried about in the past. It increases those feelings of superiority and inferiority, dominance and subordination. It gives people an idea that we all have very different values. Some people are much more important than others, and that undermines our own sense of self-worth and increases our worries about how we're seen and judged. That's the real link between inequality and the psychological problems our societies seem to be developing.
Let's talk about those psychological problems, because you talk about in the book of the studies that show the greater income inequality is associated with higher rates of mental illness, and countries like the United States, like the UK, three times as much mental illness, including four times as much schizophrenia, as more equal wealthy countries. Why is that the case?
Well, when we live in conditions of greater inequality, that increases how important it is how other people see us, and issues to do with superiority and inferiority. And this is linked to our mental processes that enable us to cope with those different situations. We have something called the dominance behavioral system, which we've inherited from our animal past, that helps us deal with issues to do with superiority and inferiority. And in more unequal societies, disturbances of that system are more common. And so we see two kinds of response. We see more of the mental illnesses that are linked to subordination, like depression and anxiety, but we also see more of the mental illnesses that are linked to dominance and feelings of superiority, so narcissism, psychosis, and schizophrenia.
You refer, and I believe the word you use in the book, Richard, is epidemic when it comes to narcissism, that this has come to such a point that there is such a decline in empathy that many people are trying to inflate the ego, boost the impression of who they are in other people's eyes, and the word epidemic is a very strong word.
Yes, but the data from lots of different surveys in a number of different rich developed countries show these effects very well. As I said, something like 60% of Americans feel paralyzed by stress, and one in five people have diagnosable mental illnesses. And these problems seem to be growing.
One of the things that you also write about, Kate, is, of course, stress and anxiety. People who get very upset, justifiably so, because of the inequalities that we have discussed. Often, they will resort to drugs or alcohol to be and become even more vulnerable. How do you, I mean, you mentioned in the book, I think, that gambling addiction is now four times as common. How do you address that in the sense of what do we do about that? And because it's obviously more than therapy and medication.
Of course. Richard and I, we're public health academics. You know, our discipline is to do with public health. And so instead of looking at all of these problems separately and thinking what services can we provide, what cures can we provide for all of those different ailments, whether it's mental illnesses or addictions, we're more interested in the root causes. And inequality appears to be a root cause of a vast range of problems. And so we would want to address those determinants of the problems rather than just try and fix them. And that's not only a better strategy in terms of preventing human suffering, it's a better economic strategy because it is always cheaper to prevent problems developing than it is to try and treat them when they've occurred. So we would argue that if you can reduce your levels of income inequality somewhat, you will see the benefits to health and well-being flow from that, and you will save money.
So How do you tackle all of this? I mean, I understand your point, but someone has to take someone has to take this seriously, right? I mean, it seems like there's leadership necessary that has to take this seriously and to put the resources and the understanding into it to make it better.
I think that what has moved income differences in the past, making them larger or smaller, are large-scale social movements. And we need the concern with income inequality to grow, and we need to change the legislation that lowered top tax rates. America, when it was doing best economically, had top tax rates of 80 or even 90%. But our main approach to reducing income differences is actually about how you make smaller income differences before taxes and benefits. And we think the way of doing that is by extending democracy into the workplace. Our democracies have become often increasingly meaningless at the political level, and we need to extend them into the workplace through employee representatives on company boards, employee-owned companies, cooperatives, all those kinds of things. It looks as if they are nicer places to work in and also more efficient. Productivity seems to go up when you have forms of economic democracy and participative management.
If I could just add, I mean, it would be great to have some charismatic leadership around inequality and, you know, inspiring everybody with a vision of a more equal society and what it could do for us. But it's important to remember that inequality is all of our business, you know, and it's up to us to think about how we organize, how we vote, social movements that we might create to create a pressure for greater equality from the grassroots.
But part of the problem is more of us are narcissists than we used to be. Right? I mean, we're...
That is part of the problem, yeah.
I mean, we're more worried about us, and I guess we need people to worry about the other people.
That's right. I've been doing some talks recently, you know, about children's well-being and saying, you know, it's just as important to want other people's children to do well as it is to want your own to do well. And we need to be thinking in those more empathic ways again.
I mean, the thing, Richard, is that this is all so intertwined. I couldn't get over it in the book of everything. You know, the leg bone is connected to the knee bone, and you're reading on and you're talking about inequality, and you're talking about what this does to our mental health and empathy, and obviously it gets down to our climate, it gets down to global warming, it gets to our consumerism, it gets to what the future of our planet. This all fits together, doesn't it?
I think the important links between what's going wrong with our societies socially, the way we're messing ourselves up socially, and the way we're messing up the planet. A lot of links between inequality and using up planetary resources, being more wasteful and so on. More equal societies, there's less consumerism, people do more about the environment, they recycle more. Business leaders in more equal societies pay more attention to environmental issues, absolutely crucial.
The book is fascinating and is entitled The Inner Level, How More Equal Societies Reduce Stress, Restore Sanity, and Improve Everyone's Well-Being. The book is published by Penguin Press. Thank you very much, Richard Wilkinson and Kate Pickett, for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
A great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.